Good morning, beloved. God bless you today in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. I'm sitting here this morning in the presence of the Lord, just tasting of his river again. And I've shared this testimony many times, but God's bringing me back to the understanding of what he revealed and showed to me, and even a fuller understanding of what he showed to me in 1995. He took me through some seasons to teach me that it's not by might nor by power, but by his spirit that we can walk in his life, that we can't accomplish it no matter how much we try or even if how much we want to. We can't do it. Only he can do it. And the Lord taught me this through experience. He told me to pray for 5 hours a day. And he gave me the grace to do it. And that went on for 4 months. And then there was a season where it was just, I just prayed every day from anywhere from 4 to 6 hours. I don't know how long it went on, several months. And then he came and he said, now I'm going to take my hand off of you and show you who you are without me. And for 4 months again, exactly, I could not pray at all. And I tried every day. I tried to pray. When I say I couldn't pray, real prayer is communication with God. It's fellowship with God. Communion, that's the word I was looking for. Real prayer is communion with God. And if you're not communing with God, you're not really praying. You might be making requests, but to really pray is to get into God's presence and commune with him. And I couldn't commune with God when he said, I'm going to take my hand off of you, no matter how much I tried. And friend, I tried. I remember one day I walked around my house for 6 hours without a break, walking and trying to pray. I would speak in tongues. I would quote scripture. I was walking with my Bible. Not 1 second did I ever get into God's presence. Did I ever really commune with him? By that point, I knew the difference. After praying for 5 hours a day and then 4 to 6 hours a day, every time I prayed, within 30 minutes, I was always in communion with the Lord. I was always deep in his presence and hearing him and feeling his glory and his presence. And when he said, I'll take my hand off of you, no matter how hard I tried, no matter how much I wanted to pray, I couldn't. And I was the most miserable person in the world. I just wanted to die. It was horrible to go from being in God's presence for several years of just glorious seeking him to nothing. All of a sudden, it was horrible. And at the end of that 4 months, I remember I was at work and I lifted up my hands. I was in a room separate from everybody else. And I lifted up my hands and I was crying. And I said, God, I need you. I don't want to live without you. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, now I'm going to put you in my river. That's exactly what he said. And then he said, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. I remember I got off work that morning. I was working an 11 to 7 shift, and I don't know how I went to the bookstore. I must have waited a little while because I think they opened at 8 or 8:30, but that's the first place I went was the Gospel Lighthouse. I wasn't tired at all. I was just, I was just fire, you know, because God spoke to me. I'm going to put you in my river. And I walked through that store and I found a book by Andrew Murray called Abide in Christ. I'd never heard of Andrew Murray, but I was just walking through the store and one of those tall racks, eye level, I looked to my left and bam, there was the book, Abide in Christ. And the Holy Spirit said, get that. And when I took that book home, I began to read that and I began to understand that it's not me that lives, it's Christ that lives in me, and that I cannot produce one single thing. And man, the river of God began to flow through me. The only way I could explain it was like I hate to use the word because it sounds bad, but it was like ice water, but it was wonderful. It was like refreshing water was flowing through me, up through my feet and out through the top of my head constantly. There was a constant flow of a river, and it never stopped. And this went on for almost a year. I never had to try to pray. As a matter of fact, I never stopped praying for a year, even while I was sleeping. And I'm not exaggerating at all. It was nothing like when I prayed 5 hours a day. That was effort. And God was giving me the grace and the strength, but it was effort. I was trying. I was doing everything I could to obey God, and He helped me to do it. And then the time I had nothing, it was horrible. But this river was different than anything I had ever experienced or even imagined that was even possible. I never even dreamed that it was possible to have the life of God flowing like a river through my vessel nonstop, continually. And this happened for almost a year without ceasing, not once. Everywhere I went, the glory of God was flowing through me. I never tried to do anything. It was weird. Even during worship at church, sometimes I would just sit down while everybody else stood up. And I was sitting there just literally vibrating with the glory of God just flowing. Everybody I prayed for, the glory of God touched them. And it was amazing. And the only thing I was concerned about was, oh God, I don't ever want this to go away. And for some reason, I knew it would. I knew it would. I wasn't ready for that. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to me and showing me this is what is available. But I've got many things I've got to show you. I've got many things I've got to teach you. And during that season, I was reading a lot of Andrew Murray's books and different old, from times past, teachers that were teaching, it's not by might, it's by the Spirit. And what I kept running into was the same idea all the time, that this river, that this life of God can only be accessed by total and absolute surrender, by giving up our own life, by not trying to produce His righteousness, by not seeking anything for ourself, by completely and absolutely abandoning our own life so that we can walk in His. Now, during that season, I did that, but I didn't know how I was doing that. I wasn't really trying to do that. I just loved the river so much that I didn't want anything else. I didn't want anything else but His life. I didn't even care if I ever preached again. I didn't care if I ever made another dollar. I didn't care if I worked. I didn't care what anybody thought about me. I did not care if I was by myself for the rest of my life in a closet. I didn't care anything. Nothing mattered but His life. Nothing mattered but His presence. But Jeff was so still alive, he just was silenced for a long season. And the reason I lost that, and the reason I couldn't stay there, is because Jeff still wanted to live. I still wanted to live. I still wanted my dreams. I still wanted my goals. I still wanted my opinions. I still wanted my ideas. I still wanted God to bless my life. And I did not fully get it. I didn't understand what absolute surrender really means. Jesus told the people He was preaching to, He said, "Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple." Jesus said, "Whoever does not give up everything that he has, he cannot be my disciple." Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. May the Holy Spirit give us a revelation of this. If we don't give up everything that we have, if we don't surrender completely. Now, this word surrender is important. It's not something that we can do. It's even if a police officer arrest pulls a gun on you and you lift your hands up real quick, you're only doing it out of fear. That's not true surrender. Because as soon as you can get away from his gun, you go back to doing what you're doing. That's not surrender. The only way I know of true surrender is when a human being is completely and totally out of strength. They have none left. I remember fighting. I used to love to fight, or I don't know if I loved fighting as much as I just hated people and hated anybody trying to mess with me. So when I was young, I would fight, and I got kicked out of school every year till they finally put me in a behavior disorder school. Wouldn't even let me go to regular school because I would fight at least once a week. I'd fight somebody. And then when I got into high school, I became a wrestler and also took boxing lessons. And I loved to fight. I wanted to fight. But I remember in some fights, after fighting for a while, I mean, maybe 5-10 minutes straight, I didn't have the energy to fight anymore. I couldn't fight anymore. I remember fighting with some people and both of us gave up because we just lost the strength to be able to fight. And real surrender only comes when your strength is completely and totally gone. And you have no will to fight on. You can't lift your hands. You can't move. You can't do anything. And that's the only true surrender that there is. Now, I remember reading about Paul's thorn, and I didn't really grasp the concept of it because I was reading it, as we all do, with our natural mind. We're reading that. We're interpreting that. We're thinking about that. But what Paul actually said was that there was assigned to him an angel of Satan, a messenger of Satan, which is that word messenger is angel in the Greek, angelos. It is a demonic prince came and tormented him and buffeted him and hit him over and over and over and over until he had no strength left. And he looked to God and he said, God, please deliver me from this. And the Lord said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. So Paul said, I'll glory all the more in my infirmities, in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What Paul was finding out, and I've said this before, and I'm sure I've said it the wrong way. We don't have to be under constant demonic attack to be able to walk in the life of God. I don't believe that's what Paul was teaching. What Paul was revealing was he had to come to the end of his own strength before he could really walk in the resurrection life of God. He had to give up his own ability, his own might, his own power, his own will. He had to give up himself completely before he could really experience the resurrection power of God, the life of Jesus Christ. You can only walk in one life. You can't walk in your life and in his life. And Jesus said, if a man doesn't give up everything that he has, he cannot be my disciple. You cannot walk in his life as long as you continue to walk in your own. So many times what we think is the devil's attack is actually God's permission to bring us to the end of ourselves so that we don't want to live anymore. We don't want our idea. We don't want our dream. We don't want our will. We don't want our plans. We don't want our desires. And we finally learn to surrender. We finally come to the end of our strength and say, God, I'm so done with me. And that's where the Holy Spirit can teach us and take over. And his life can begin to flow. But the moment we go back to our own life, the moment we begin to arouse our own desires again, our own dreams again, what we want God to do for us again, the moment we go back to that, we lose the life of Jesus again. I'm not saying we lose our salvation. We lose the flow of Jesus's life. It is real, and it is for all of us to walk in continually. The river of God is teeming with life, and everything it touches lives. Everything it touches comes to life. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him will bring forth much fruit. For without me, or apart from me, you can do nothing. Everything is about abiding in him. But this idea must be coupled, this reality that we cannot do anything apart from him must be coupled with his command to us, with his word to us. If a man does not hate his own life, if a man does not give up all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Beloved, I pray that the Holy Spirit will help you to come to a place of absolute surrender. How much do you really want the river? If you really understand and find the river, friend, you will go and sell everything you have. I'm talking about all your desires, all your dreams, all your will, all your effort, all your striving to be good or trying to be righteous for God, all of the things you like and want. Friend, you will give them all up. You won't want anything that your life wants because the river is so valuable. The presence of God is so valuable. Not just the presence. I don't want you to misunderstand. We can walk in the presence of God even when we're walking in our own life in many ways. We can experience his presence. When we pray, we can feel his presence. We can feel his presence at church. But oh, friend, there is a vast difference in feeling the presence of God and flowing in his river, or his river flowing through you, I should say. There's a vast, vast difference when we are living for God and he is living through us. Oh, there's a vast difference between us living for him and him living through us. Oh my goodness. May God give us the grace to come. Even in my life now, I'm coming to this place again. This morning as I was praying, I saw how I was frustrated still because I want to do certain ministries. I want to travel again overseas, and I believe God will do that. But even my ministry, even what I want to do, it's like I want God to do it. I want God to come through. I want God to, come on, God, do it. Come on, God, move. And once again, there's me. There's me trying to get God to do what I think he needs to do and when I think he needs to do it. And the Lord showed me, this is the reason lately you've lost some of that. You've been frustrated. And man, as I began to see it again, I said, oh, Lord. And immediately, as I said, okay, God, I'm done. I don't care what you do. I just want your life. And that river, that river began to flow in a mighty way again. I never want to come outside of the river. I never want to come outside of absolute surrender, of truly hating my own life and not wanting my own decisions, not wanting my own desires, not coming to God to ask him to do what I want him to do, but coming to him and yielding and abiding in him and trusting him with every moment and every decision. I'll close with this testimony because this is one of the things that God taught me of how to walk in this life. It's by faith. You see, the Bible said we're saved by grace, his divine empowerment, his divine working in us by his divine nature. Praise the Lord. We're saved by grace through faith. And this is not of ourselves. It is of God. It comes from him. It's not of our works. We can't produce it. It's God that does it. So I remember one day the Lord was teaching me about how to access the grace to do the will of God. I was in a church service and they started taking up an offering for a school of ministry that we had. And the pastor got up and said, I want everybody here who can to give $1,000 today for the school of ministry. We've got to have a lot. They were buying a big building. I want everybody who can. If you can't, he said, don't worry about that, but I want everybody who can to give $1,000. Well, I had like $1,000, maybe $1,100, right at $1,000 saved for my honeymoon that was coming in like 2 months. And I had no way to get more money, but I had $1,000 in my bank. And when he said that, I remembered I have $1,000, but I can't give it because I have a purpose for it. It's set aside for something. And my fiance, Larissa, was sitting there beside me, and I'm thinking, I can't give that $1,000. And I got so nervous because I knew I had it, and I felt like I needed to give, but there's no way I could. I started actually feeling anxiety, man, and I was shaking inside. And I remembered what the Lord had showed me, that I can't produce anything. And so I said, you know what, Lord, I don't even have to try to do anything. If it's you, you'll give me the grace to do it. And if it's not, you won't. And I just said, thank you, Father, for that. And you know what? I believed that God was not going to give me grace to give that offering. I didn't think he was going to do it. And as soon as I said that, they began to hand the plates around about, I don't know, 30, 40 seconds later. All of a sudden, I felt so free to give that $1,000. And I took a little piece of paper and wrote my credit card number on it because I didn't have the cash on me so that I could give the $1,000. And I gave it, and it never bothered me for a second. I never worried about my honeymoon. Nothing. I gave that. I couldn't believe it. I just gave it with grace. No anxiety, no stress. And it was just God showing me how to access the grace of God. You cannot produce it. If you'll trust Him, if you'll surrender, He will give you grace to do everything you need to do. He'll work in you both to will and to do. It's never by might, it's never by your own ability, but it is by your surrender, and it is by your believing. You're believing in His grace and His life and absolute surrender, giving up your own life. I don't care what He does, how He does it. Lord, let your will be done and not mine. I know you'll give me the grace. And so let me finish that testimony and I'll close here. So I didn't have the money for my honeymoon. About a month, 2 months later, whenever it was, we're about to fly out. The night before my honeymoon at almost midnight, I think it was, well, no, I think it was like 10:30 at night. Yeah, he came at midnight, but it was like 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night. I got a phone call, and we had been trying to sell a diamond ring that my fiance at the time, her mother had given us to sell to bless us with. And we were to give her half the money, and we could keep half the money. And we had advertised it. 10:30 at night, this man calls us. He's like 70 something years old. Most 70 something year old people are sound asleep at 10 o'clock at night. And this man says, I want that ring. I said, well, we're leaving, tomorrow to go to Brazil for our wedding. He said, well, I can come and get it. So he came to our house. He got there about 11:30. I mean, he was there. I remember like midnight, I think he left. At midnight, he bought that ring, and I think he paid like $3,600 for the ring or something. And we got to keep half the money. Something like that. I think we ended up with like $1,500 or something. So about $3,000, yeah, he paid for the ring. At midnight, the night before our plane left in the morning for our honeymoon, he comes and he pays for this ring, and I'm just shocked at what God did. And it didn't happen because I did something. It happened because His grace did something. It was totally different. I wasn't given a seed offering so that I would be blessed. I wasn't sowing a seed so that God would bless my life. All of that is deception. It's not the way. The way is to give up our life. He is the way. He's the only way. The life of Jesus is the only way. And the only way to have the life of Jesus is to give up your own, hate your own, turn away from your own, stop trusting in your own, stop trying to produce with your own, stop trying to preserve your own, stop trying to hang on to your own, stop asking God to bless your own, and hate your life, and give up everything that you have, everything that you want, everything that you desire for the life of Jesus Christ. And when you do so, when there's a genuine, absolute surrender, now you can't even do that. But the Lord, if you really want it, He'll bring you to that place. It's not going to be easy. The Apostle Paul had to have a demon assigned to him, had to have a principality of Satan assigned to him to get there. And many we, I have went, had to go through over the last since 1995. Oh my goodness, after that year of glory, I have had to go through season after season after season of lessons and pain and misery and suffering because Jeff wanted to live. Until I finally come to the place and have came to the place, and I pray I stay there where I don't want myself. But this is a daily thing. It's not an, I said it the wrong way. It's not an arrival. You don't just arrive there and you stay there forever. Jesus said, take up your cross daily. That's what he was talking about. This is a daily thing. Lord, I don't want me today. I don't want me today. I'm not coming to you to ask you to give me what I want, even if I think it's your will. I'm not asking you to give me what I want. I just want your life to flow. And I know you'll give me grace to both will and to do of your good pleasure in every area of life. And Lord, I thank you for it. Amen. That's it. It's absolute surrender. Nobody's preaching this today because they don't want to give up their own life. They want God to bless their life. And they're preaching that God loves your life and he has a plan for your life. That's not true. The only plan God had for your life was to crucify it, and he already did so. Now he is offering you his life. But the only way to walk in it is to give up your own, to hate the one he's crucified, to turn away from it, to know why you had to die. Listen, if you do anything, even if God blesses you to do it, you're going to corrupt it. If you touch anything, you're going to corrupt it. Everything your life does is tainted. It's got impure motivations, impure desires. You want to be something. The life of Adam wants to be something, but the only thing the life of Adam can be is iniquity, because that's all that it is. But the life of Jesus is righteousness, and that's all that it is. So it's a trade, and you can't have one without giving up the other. Oh, you will love one, and you will hate the other. You will cling to one, and you will despise the other. Which life do you despise? Which life do you hate? Which life do you love? Which life do you cling to? This is the gospel, my friend. In Jesus' name, God bless you today. Amen.